At this time, our student minister, youth minister Warren Jones, is going to come and share with us as we begin our time together.
Good morning. It's good to see y'all this morning. If you will look in the inside part of your aisles, if y'all who are on that inside part will pass some of those envelopes down. So what this is, I'm a part of a ministry called Kairos. Kairos stands for God's special time. You know, we live on Kronos time, but in life, there are some things that are just in God's time, and that is, you know, that's what Kairos is all about. Next week, next Thursday, we go into St. Clair Correctional Facility down close to Birmingham. It is actually in Odenville. We will go in Thursday afternoon. I am on the music team leading worship. And we have 75 that will go in. We have 42 residents that are part of, that are in St. Clair, that have been spending time in TC and spending time in chapel and earning opportunity to get to be a part of Kairos. We will have 42 residents, 42 inmates will be part of this weekend. So we go in and Thursday is a day of just meet and greet, kind of hang out, kind of talk, help them understand why we're there. Friday, we introduce music, we introduce some speakers, and by Saturday, we are talking about forgiveness, breaking down walls, and the Spirit is just moving. Saturday is always just such a powerful day. But it's just a ministry that I wanted to come and have us as a church to be a part of. And so during the week, we do things that we call agape. And we show them the Christ love through different means, through things like a prayer chain, through placemats that people draw, kids draw on, and they get to eat. We cook food. You know, we cook two meals. We cook lunch, and we cook dinner for them. They don't get to eat the kind of food that we cook and take in. We take in over 600 dozen cookies with us that they can eat throughout the day. And so it's just a great weekend for them to kind of get away, but then to experience the love of Christ. And so what this is what I wanted to do is just come and just, we're going to pray in just a minute. But if you would write your name, your first name, and maybe a last initial in the center of this, I will take these home, tape them together, and make a link and make a chain. And this is part of our prayer chain that we will pull out on Saturday and show them all the people who have been praying and investing in them and praying for this weekend and praying for them before we got it in there, and just show them, you know, kind of how big the team of Cairo 71 truly is. So I wanted to take the opportunity to kind of share just an experience I've had through the Kairos ministry. This time we go in, I get to host a man named Emmanuel Porter. So I've been praying for Emmanuel for the past month or so, and just praying for him and praying for God to work in his heart. Last time I went in was spring of 2019, and I got to host a man named Cedric Davis. Cedric was raised around Birmingham. I believe it was Inslee, where he's from in Birmingham. He was the oldest of nine siblings. His father, at the age of 11, passed away. His mother was on drugs in and out of jail. His grandmother ended up really raising them. But after his mother was incarcerated for a long period of time, his uncle pretty much told him, it's up to you to raise the family, take care of your kids. You're the man, you're the oldest, you take care of everybody. And after Cedric turned 19 years old, he had a man rape one of his sisters. His uncle, who had kind of been the main influence in his life, his uncle who had told him, whatever drug of choice you want to use, you find out what you like, you find out what makes you feel good, and you just be you. You just do you. You live how you want to live. Never really gave him any guidance, never really gave him any solid, you know, this is how we love people. Nobody to spiritually guide him in his life. So When his sister went through that experience, his uncle told him, "You're the man. You're the oldest. You handle business. You take care of him." He didn't know what to do. He went and confronted the man, ended up shooting him, killing him, and now Cedric's got life in prison. Since that time, Cedric has come to a relationship in Christ. Cedric has written a book about his experience. He, you know, is going to chapel. He's part of, you know, the ministry there. In St. Clair, they now, this past year, they have an actual church that is recognized by the state of Alabama within St. Clair. It is just formed, and I can't even remember the name of it, but it is an actual church within St. Clair. The chaplain shepherd has instigated that. Tommy Plunkett, who is a worship leader there and done a lot through their chapel, has been able to bring that on. But he does a lot within that. And getting to sit and talk with Cedric, and getting to sit with him and talk about his upbringing and talk about how he didn't know the love that he's now come to know. He is now reaching out to his siblings. He's reaching out to his family. Several of his siblings have come to a relationship in Christ through him. But he said, I didn't know how to live. I didn't know what to do. And as I sat there in that moment talking with Cedric and thinking about where he was and thinking about what he had gone through in life and then having to get up. We go in Thursday through Sunday, having to get up and leave Sunday afternoon and waking up Monday morning and thinking, man, here I am with all my freedom. Here I am able to go in, have that experience and share with them, but I get to come home. I get to be free. And I didn't get to choose where I was born. I didn't get to choose to be born in Guntersville, Alabama, on February the 15th of 77 and 1:46 a.m. at the old hospital, the old white one downtown with the green sign right there. I was in the room right behind it. I didn't get that choice. That's where God placed me. And so every weekend when I come home from every time I come home from a weekend of this, it makes me appreciate what God has done for me, where I have been placed in life, the blessings I have, the family that I was born into, the town that I was born into, the freedom of this nation that I have to know the truth of Christ, to know his peace, to know his joy, to know his forgiveness. And it challenges me. What do I truly do with my freedom? Am I truly glorifying him and letting others know where I find peace, where I find joy, where I find hope and forgiveness? And I think for all of us, we don't see into some people's situation enough. And I have a lot of people tell me, well, that's just jailhouse ministry. That's just jailhouse salvation. They're just locked up. They're just incarcerated. They deserve what they get. If you think about it, yeah, it is. It's just jailhouse salvation. Is that not the truth for all of us? We are born into sin. We are born the offspring of sin. We are born with a sentence that if we don't come to Christ, if we don't accept him, if we don't love him, if we don't allow his love to pour into us and change us, our sentence is death eternal. And it's awesome just to go in and share and see the hand of God at work in their hearts. And men who feel like once I'm incarcerated, my life is not worth anything. If I'm on the outside in the free world and somebody takes my life, somebody will go to jail for 25 years to life for taking my life. Once I'm put on the inside and I'm in these walls, if somebody takes my life in here, they get 1 year added onto their sentence. They feel like their life has been thrown away by society, that they are not loved anymore, that they are not worth anything anymore. And to go in and to allow the Spirit of God to tear down those walls and pour into them and love them is one of the most powerful things I've been a part of. So I hope this morning that we can come, and I hope you will join in with me in prayer. And this prayer chain and these links, as we pull this out and we wrap it around that gym that we're in, we get to use the gym and the chapel. They're side by side on the back side of the prison. And as they walk around and they see these names, most of them, they'll read a name of their child, same name as their child, a grandmother, their mother, father. And man, just the way it breaks them down and pour. And just see them break down. I've seen grown men sit before a meal, huge chicken and just a plate full, but they couldn't start eating because of the placemat that a little kid had drawn with a Bible verse and God loves you. I've seen men just sit and just pour and just pour and just break down over the smallest of things, just sharing God's love in such a harsh environment. And I hope y'all will join in with me and just be in prayer. So if y'all will put your name on the middle of this, after this service, I'll come back. I'll be back here this afternoon, and I'll come back and put these together. And I'll take these as a part of our weekend. But I just want to take a minute just to pray. I'll just give y'all a moment of silence, and then I'll pray for us. I'll close this in prayer. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us to be a part of your gospel, to be a part of sharing your love, Lord. Lord, I thank you for each one in this church family. Lord, I thank you for the support that they give our ministries, our outreach, the support they have given me. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. Lord, we just come to you today just lifting up the residents of St. Clair. Lord, we lift up Chaplain Shepherd. We lift up the guards. We lift up the wardens. Lord, we pray over the residents. We pray your peace be on them this week. Lord, I pray for the 42 that will be a part of our weekend, God. Lord, I pray that you will just speak to them this week. Use the battles that they're going through, the experiences that they have, Lord, just to create questions of life and salvation in their hearts, God. And Lord, we pray that you answer those questions, that you pour into them your spirit of love and peace, Lord, and you just allow your presence to be full and to be known. Tear down walls that so guard their hearts, Lord. They all come in so guarded, so standoffish. Lord, I pray that you will just pour into these 42, that you will just allow them to leave this weekend knowing that they were in the presence of God, that your spirit is real, that your love is real, your forgiveness is real, God. Lord, we lift them up to you, God, and we pray your blessings. Pray your spirit be full, Lord. We pray for protection. We pray for peace. And we just thank you for this day, Lord. Be with us and as we go. And be with us as we pour your spirit into them. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank y'all.
Together as we sing, "Great is the Lord, He is worthy of worship." Hymn number 140.
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just, by His power we trust, His power. Lord. Now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice.
Traditional late service. I've already met several guests and really nice to meet you. Glad the Lord's led you to worship with us today. Glad you're a part of our time. Take a few moments though, walk around, welcome your friends. So glad you're here today. Good to have you.
Seated as we continue singing. Amy's up here to help me direct this beautiful hymn, Victory in Jesus. Let's sing it from the first verse.
I heard an old sound how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning.
Thank you, Miss Amy. I appreciate you helping me today. And I think I need to put her on the side that's not singing out enough. But, Joel, I think she can inspire them to sing. But y'all sounded great. I don't think anybody was not pulling their weight on that one. So we want to sing about the gospel. We want to sing the gospel. We want the gospel is really, like Joel teaches us, it's more than just a one-time thing when we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord. That's very important. That's kind of the starting point. God's really been working on us before that, but that's kind of when things are set in motion for sure in our spiritual walk. But the gospel is for every moment of life. And so as we sing about John 3:16 today, you think about your own life and the gospel and how God is working in you. I've been reading in a book called it's called Gospel Fluency, and it's a really, really good book. And one of the things was there's a young lady, kind of reminded me of a testimony that we heard last night at the Christian Women Job Corps. The Pickers were singing. Tim is the MC for that program every year. And we were singing last night, but before we came up, this young lady came up and gave her testimony about how God had transformed her life. She had come from home and seemed like she felt like Job because her husband left. Moved in with her parents, then their house burned down shortly after her moving in, and just one thing after another went wrong. But then she got involved with the Christian Women's Job Corps, and God worked through that ministry and changed her life. Now she's serving the Lord and helping other people, and that's a great testimony. And this book I was reading, The Gospel Fluency, the guy was talking about how he had gathered around a young lady that had been attending their church, and how she was pouring out her heart, and she was telling about her husband had been abusive, and they were going through a divorce and all, and some of the members of the committee were saying, oh, we need to get him and set him right, you know, and the pastor was saying, let's hold on a minute. What she needs first and foremost, before anything else, is she needs Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all the questions. He's the solution to all the problems. So what we need to do is to help people see Jesus and tell people about how Jesus ministered to them through these difficult situations of life. We need to pray over them, teaching them what Jesus taught his disciples. And so as we go through today, we're going to hear more about the gospel in the singing and also in the message today. I want you to take hold of that, and let's be reminded that Jesus is the answer. And so we can take care of all these other things that need to be addressed later. But when people are hurting, they first and foremost need Jesus. Mm-hmm. that's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world. And he's worthy of worship and praise for all he's done for us. With grateful hearts, we're so thankful for all that he's done. One day, you hear that term a lot. One day this, one day that. When's one day going to come? One day in heaven, when heaven was filled with his praises, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the trumpet will sound of his coming. We're going to sing the gospel right here and right now for our offertory hymn. It's number 294. One day. We'll stand on the last stanza.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin.
Together as we sing,
one day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day my beloved was bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living in my
morning. Would you join me to pray, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for the outpouring of your blessings you've given to each and every one of us, on us as individuals, us as a country. And we come this morning just asking your help for the world today as we go about things that make no sense to any of us. And we know that you're the only one that can straighten them out. And we just pray that we would see relief coming for the people. And dear Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning as we come to this part of the service, when we can give back just a portion of that you so graciously given to each and every one of us, we just pray that we will use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Last Sunday, the 15th of October, was my 16th anniversary of being here, and it's been a joy and a privilege. Back before I came here, I was in Meridian, Mississippi, and in 1999, getting ready to go into the year 2000, Brother Joel, our pastor, had a sermon series called The Offer Still Stands. And so I decided I would write a song based on that sermon series. And there have been a time or two when you've kind of had a sermon series. I've written a song. I can remember the I'm Committed song. that we've used before, wrote along with the sermon series. And then, of course, the great challenge that you gave to write lyrics to the great tune, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. So I successfully did that. The Pickers have recorded it and done it a number of times. But a year or so ago, really before COVID, I started working on recording some of my songs that I've yet to record, and got tracks for this, and I'm hopeful to have the choir back me up on this on the recording. So we were starting getting ready for that, getting the right arrangement, and we've been working on it. And I had it really in mind to do last week because Karen was out. She and Amy were at a camp together, and I thought it'd be perfect time to do it because we use a track. We rarely use tracks anymore because we have such great musicians. But I wanted to use this because it's for the recording and everything. And so, but I saw you were going to preach what you're going to preach today on the gospel. And so I thought today would be the perfect day. Now, you pray for me that I'll have the voice to sing it, and the choir can back me up on this. But we're going to sing this song. Hope that you'll think about God's amazing offer to you and to me, and the offer still stands.
The offer still stands. The price has been paid. With two outstretched hands, arrangements were made. The choice, it is yours to follow His plan. After 2,000 years, the offer still stands. The offer was made on a hill called Golgotha, and the cross, it was raised for all eyes to see that God loved the world so much He sent His only that if we believe, by faith we receive salvation through Him. The offer still stands. The price has been paid. With two outstretched hands, arrangements were made. The choice, it is yours to follow His plan. After 2,000 years, the offer still stands. The offer includes a life of abundance, with comfort and strength to face life's demands, and a home that's prepared for those who trust in God's only Son. God's word is still true. It's a deal made for you, and the offer still stands. The offer still stands.
The offer still stands.
Yes, the price has been paid.
The price has been paid.
With two outstretched hands.
With two outstretched hands.
Arrangements were made.
Arrangements were made.
The choice, it is yours.
The choice, it is yours.
To follow His plan. After 2,000 years, the offer still stands.
The offer still stands.
After 2,000 years, the offer still stands. The offer still stands. The offer still stands.
Thank you so much, Ken. What a great, great, great song. The offer still stands. The offer still stands of the gospel for me, for you. The offer still stands for terrorists. The offer still stands for murderers. The offer still stands for your neighbor right down the street. The offer still stands for anyone who will believe the good news of the gospel. So that's where we are today. We're going to see where all that started. It started in Acts chapter 10. It actually started from the very beginning of creation, the gospel did. And we kind of worked its way to the new covenant. But what we know of as the body of Christ, the church, really started in this great story in Acts chapter 10. About 10 or so years ago, we did this thing with the Alabama Baptist Foundation. And a part of that Alabama Baptist Foundation, there was a man that they had a connection with called Dave Kiesling. And Dave Kiesling is a man that lives in Colorado. And so I got on his email devotion list. And so over the course of these years, there are times when I'll go a year and I'll never read not one of his devotions. And then I'll go a time where I read them every single day. And so that's kind of who I am. That's kind of what I do. I get into it for a while, and then for some reason, I just kind of drop out. And I'll 2 years, and I'll never read a one. Well, I was reading several of his. I kind of got into them again late summer. And so I was really kind of going through a lot of these devotions. And he had a devotion on Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And it really just spoke to me. Now, this has been about a month and a half or 2 months ago. And I went straight to my Bible that I use to write down the dates of all of the sermons that I've ever preached, literally for 30 plus years. And so I went to Acts chapter 10, and I thought, now that's interesting. 30 plus years of preaching, and I've never preached on this incredible, I mean, unbelievably powerful, incredible story in Acts chapter 10 on Cornelius. And I thought, well, I've got to do that. The Lord just kept pressing that on my heart. You've got to preach on Cornelius. So the next Sunday up was today, October the 22nd. So I took that little devotion and then just kind of, you know, took things and built on this today from Acts chapter 10. But Dave Kiesling writes to kind of give us some help here. The book of Acts is a careful history of the development of the early first century church. Luke, the physician and gospel writer, is the author of this great work. His descriptions of geographical details, of government officials and their actions, of imperial procedure, of a sea voyage to Italy in accurate nautical terms, reveal a very detailed researcher who was himself an eyewitness to many of the events that he records. He had several purposes for writing what we call the Acts of the Apostles. He says in his gospel account that he wrote about the life of Jesus until the ascension. Now, he wants to show us how the Lord then expanded his church in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The Acts of the Apostles is a map of the progress of the church into the ancient world, showing how it all began. So Luke, the gospel writer, gives us his account, the Gospel of Luke, of Jesus, his birth, his life, the miracles, the death, burial, resurrection, and then all the way to the ascension. He then writes this second volume that we call the Acts of the Apostles, where he shows us, now because of Jesus, because of the gospel, because of the good news of the gospel, this is how the Father started what we now call the church, the body of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit being unleashed on God's people, and how that played out and how those stories played out. Well, one of the great examples of that is Acts chapter 10, the story of this Roman army officer who lived in Caesarea named Cornelius. So Luke tells us this story. I'm not going to cover the whole story. You don't have time to do that. We're only going to read the first seven verses. And about how this is the power of God and how God does things that we wouldn't do. He does it the way we wouldn't do it. Why in the world would God not choose one of His chosen people to start this thing called the gospel? Why in the world would God use a Roman army officer? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Kind of reveals to me that, oh, well, I guess God's the one in charge of all this, isn't He? And not me. Well, let's look at the story real quick, just the beginning part of the story. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. Wouldn't you have been afraid if that happened to you? What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And here's what the angel said. Your prayers, your gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. We've heard of him before. He is staying with Simon, another Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his servants as in the army, one of his personal attendants, and he told them what had happened. And then he sent them off to Joppa to do exactly what it is that the angel told him to do. Cornelius' story thrills me. And it should thrill anybody who is a believer. Anybody who's claimed Christ as Savior and Lord. This is a wonderful, wonderful story because in a sense, we are His offspring. In a sense, for lack of a better term, we are the children of Cornelius. He was a Roman. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a Roman soldier, but he was at the same time, he was devoted to God. And so God used this Roman army officer, sending an angel to him, go get Peter. So he goes, sends people to go get Peter and the other disciples as well. Realizing then that the gospel is for everyone who would believe. Even Joel Samuels one day. Even if Joel Samuels believes, then the gospel will be for him. Because now the gospel is for everyone. God, the gospel is our everything. Everything that we believe in is because of the gospel. I know that you've heard me say that. If you've heard me say that once, you've heard me say that 100 million times. And the reason I say it over and over and over again is because I want us to grasp this incredible, powerful truth that Ken just said a few minutes ago. The gospel is more than just getting people saved. The gospel is our everything. Everything we are, everything that we believe in, everything that we are and everything that we have. Without the gospel, we have nothing. And when I say nothing, what I mean is nothing. The only thing that I have without the gospel is what I can put my hands on while I'm living on this earth. That's it. And then when I pass from this life to the next, I will spend eternity separated from God in a sinner's hell. Which means to me that I have nothing on my own. Doesn't matter how much money I've got, how little I have. Doesn't matter what house I live in, what car I drive, what clothes I wear. None of that will matter in the end when I die and I spend eternity separated from God in a sinner's hell. Without the gospel, that's what I have. With the gospel, I have everything. Everlasting life. Connection to God the Father through His Son Jesus for everlasting life. I not only have everlasting life, I have abundant life in Christ Jesus. No matter what my circumstances are, no matter what my situation is in life, I have abundant life in Christ Jesus. No matter what I'm living through, it's abundance with Christ. I have the freedom from the condemnation of my sin because of the gospel. So everything I am, everything I have, is because of the gospel. And church, this is where, in Acts chapter 10, this is where it all began. The power of the Holy Spirit unleashed on Cornelius and his family right there in his living room. They were not Jews, but they loved God. What a strategic, powerful moment in the advancement of what we call the kingdom, the body of Christ. Peter himself told Cornelius, his home church. Here's what Peter said. You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. Not even a guy who is a Roman army officer named Cornelius. Peter then said to them later, I see now very clearly that God shows no favoritism. That is to say, the gospel is for everyone. And here we see the very beginning stages of how that has then been played out now for 2,000 years. We are who we are today because of this great story of God unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit on this man and his household named Cornelius. But there's even more to the story. Cornelius was a centurion, a commander of the soldiers in the Italian regiment. So what? Well, John tells us in John chapter 18, the leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove, and you know exactly what happened next. So these were the guys that were sent to take Jesus captive, and that ultimately led to his crucifixion. Now, Caesarea is not Rome, but both regiments were a part of the same governmental system. Now, there's no reason for us to believe that Cornelius was personally involved in the seizing of Jesus, but given his day job, he certainly could have been required to do so. The point that I'm making here is this: God is very powerful. And the thing that I love the most is that God is extremely creative. How wonderful is this? That God chose this Roman army officer, not a Jew, by no stretch of the imagination, that he used that man to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit to start this whole thing called the good news of the gospel is now for everyone. Male, female, white, black, Asian, Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter, that the gospel is for everyone. Just when I grow faint-hearted over the latest terrorist attack, and I look at the world that I live in, the transgender movement, abortion rights, the praise of sin from our world. The more that I see of all of that in our world, and boy, it's really bubbling over right now with all that's going on in the Middle East. And then we see in America and in other places just the praise of that. Yay! They went in and they tortured and they raped and they murdered human beings. Yay! How great is that? And people openly praising that. Yes, we love that. I didn't know that I'd ever see that day. So I look at my world and the world that I live in, and I grow faint-hearted. And thankfully that I see from the power of the Word, the lesson is for me, Joel, do not lose heart. Don't despair. Don't give up hope in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Never, ever for a moment think that God is not able. In a world much worse than ours in the first century, remember Cornelius's day job? That's exactly how God created and started the gospel. Kiesling writes, in these events and others like them in the book of Acts, the Lord allows the curtain to be pulled back to reveal His activities behind the scenes to bring believers and unbelievers together. And He is still just as active in this way today and has arranged encounters for us. So we rejoice in the daily adventure of living for and serving our sovereign Lord. God's word to us is an awesome reminder of just how great He really is and how able He is to accomplish His purposes. And I am, for one, am thankful to be reminded to not lose heart, to keep plugging away, to keep proclaiming the good news of the gospel, to keep living the gospel, because God is the one who that we trust, and He is the one who is able, and He never changes, and He's in charge of all of it, just like He was in charge of it on the day that Cornelius heard from the angel of the Lord, and the gospel was poured out in that living room. And then now, 2,000 years later, still poured out to us. A month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when I felt the Lord pressing on my heart, reading just a little simple 1 minute devotion about Cornelius, none of what had happened, what has now happened, Hamas going into Jerusalem and doing what they did, none of that had happened. I didn't have that in mind when the Lord put that in my heart and on my mind to write a sermon about the fact that if God can through the power of the Holy Spirit, through a Roman army officer, can create this thing called the church, that the gospel is now for everyone. Put that on my heart way back month and a half, 2 months ago, long before any of that happened. And as I was coming to this sermon today, all I could do was just drop to my knees and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I didn't have a clue what I was preaching. I didn't have a clue. It kind of tickles me that there are preachers that think that they know what they're doing. I don't have a clue. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that You knew in me what needed to be preached on that particular day. That all that's going on in our world, when we all have this faint heart, oh no, look at what's going on. Joel, I had this 4,000 years ago. I had this 2,000 years ago in a world much worse than the one you're living in. And I got it now. Just trust me. Keep proclaiming the good news. Because even in our world, it is the best news ever. Father, thank You for a powerful word through an army, Roman army officer. The power of the Holy Spirit was unleashed. And the gospel being proclaimed to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, it was born. And I'm a child of that good news. And I'm thankful for that good news, Father. And I'm thankful, Father, because it gives me trust and faith that you had it then and you've got it now. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't remember. Cornelius. And you'll handle things today just exactly the way you want to. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news in the midst of all of that. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation is just as I am. If you've never trusted Christ and you've heard the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit to a family, Cornelius and his family, and how that then spread out to a world that is desperate and in need. So if you've never trusted Jesus, I encourage you to do that today. If you need to come and pray or join our church, do that as we stand, as we sing. Quickly, let's be seated and make sure that we cover a few of our announcements that we've got coming up. What do we got first, Will?
We got youth choir following this service right in the choir room. Lunch provided from 11:30 to 1.
All right, that's going on. All right, next, we've got our Senior Adult Fall Festival coming up this Thursday, October 26th. Solitude Baptist, Ken and Gospel Quartet, Ray Luck, one of our very own. He's going to be the preacher for the day, so senior adults, keep that in mind. All right, and then next Sunday night is our annual Trunk or Treat, 5:30 to 7. What a fun night that will be. If you need more information, see Mike, our children's minister. Veterans Day luncheon and salute. Sign up for the senior adults, November the 11th, 11 a.m. Sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table. Keep that in mind as well. All right. The next time that you see Blake Campbell, say a word of thanks to him. Blake Campbell has, since June, has been getting carpet and pews and kitchen renovation and carpet renovation and redone and office. Oh, just all that he's been working to put all together. It's just about all done. It is. It's very close. And Blake does not like it when I call him out in a good way. And he was mortified this morning in early worship. And that's okay. He can be mortified because we need to thank him for all the hard work that he has done getting us to this point. So next time you see Blake, thank him for all that you see and all the new changes, and because he's certainly done a lot to get us to that point. All right, let's all stand and close by singing Amazing Grace.
bless you.
Amen.